Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new series of road trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. It's been said that time is our most valuable resource, but as Christians, how should we be spending the time we have here on earth? In this new series of road trips called On Time, we'll take a look at different topics that have to do with our time. In this opening episode of our new series, Chris McCurley joins the show once again to talk about making the best use of our time. What do the scriptures have to say about how we spend our time? When can hobbies and entertainment get in the way of our faith? We'll talk about all of that and so much more in this week's episode. I'm Tyler Wall, and you're listening to Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. All right, Chris McCurley, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tyler.
Yes, sir. We had you back on a few months ago and really enjoyed it. And I've heard you talk about this topic that we're going to discuss. Just kind of heard you mention it a lot in passing on your podcast. And so I wanted to have you on to talk about it. And that is how we spend our time. We're doing a series that's all about how we spend our time. And I think that it's something that we need to talk about. And so to begin with, what do the scriptures say? What are some scriptures that we can maybe go to when it comes to how we spend our time?
Yeah, so the ones that I think about Ecclesiastes, the entire book. I think about Solomon and reflecting on his life and where it went wrong. And, you know, he basically reaches the conclusion that, you know, all of that is vanity of vanities. It's a chasing after the wind, that what really matters is your pursuit of God, your relationship with him. And so therefore that should be top priority. And I think, you know, what he's alluding to is what we all know is that you're not here very long. And so therefore you better make the most of your time by prioritizing what matters most. I think about Ephesians 4 verse 15, you know, redeeming the time. I also think about James chapter 4 when he talks about making the most of your vapor, right? That's verses 13 through 17. And but those are the ones that really are heavy on my mind when I think about time management, and I think about how we redeem the time that we are given. Time is one of those commodities that is more valuable than anything else you could have. Time management is a misnomer, right? Because you can't save it. You can't invest it, really. You can't make more of it. You just take what's been given you and you have to do with it what you can. And so it's more valuable than anything else, especially when we're thinking in terms of a direction, an aim in life, which for us as Christians is living intentionally, following Jesus, spreading the gospel.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think Ecclesiastes is great, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, he's going through this book and he's like, I tried all these things, I did all these things, I spent all my time in these areas. And then, you know, the verse there at the very end, he's like, fear God, keep his commands. That's the best way to spend your time. And you're exactly right. We all, as the phrase goes, we all have the same 24 hours in the day. And so the question is, how is it will we spend those hours? And so, I mean, yeah, the Bible has a lot to say about how we spend our time. And you can argue that that's kind of one of the things, one of the pillars of our faith is what kind of time are we willing to devote to our lives as Christians and to God? Not that God's, you know, sitting there in heaven, keeping a timer like, oh, you only spend an hour in prayer, not an hour and 5 minutes or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But time is, you know, like you said, such a valuable resource, and it does matter how it is that we do spend our time. So when we think about the world that we're living in, so many different things. We got an episode next week on distractions. There are so many distractions and so many things that are pulling at us for our attention and for ultimately our time. So what are some things in the world that you've seen that can cause us to spend our time unwisely?
Yeah, most of what I've seen, I've also experienced. And I can tell you, for me, it's always been sports. It's been social media. You know, I think those are the biggest things. And some of the things that we're talking about, not to put a negative spin on everything, some of the things that we talk about when it comes to be distractions are good things. It's good to have a job. It's good to work. It's good to make money. It's great to have a family, a wife and kids and all that. But let's face it, those can even be distractions, right? Anything that comes before God assumes the position of an idol in your life. And so that's why I always say you love others best when you love God the most. It's not about removing all the distractions in your life, because if you did that, well, then you wouldn't have a family anymore. And that's not what God expects you to do. He doesn't expect you to toss out your family, to leave them, or to leave your job and live as a hermit somewhere. That's not the correct way to deal with this. In order to remove the distractions, you're not really kicking them out. You're just saying, I'm going to keep them in their proper place. And I fully believe that everything else is better in life when you love God the most. You love your family better. You love those around you better. You're better at your job. You're better at all those things. And so keeping him, number one, means that everything else benefits. And, you know, I think about Exodus chapter 20 and the Ten Commandments, and I think about you shall have no other gods before me. We tend to look at that as God's first above anything else, any other idol in your life. But actually, the original language there refers to when it says no other gods before me, it means in my presence. There are no other gods before me or in front of me, right? And God's not asking to be first place. He's asking to be the only place. And so if you're doing a priority list, maybe God one and number two, there is no number two. It's just him. And and if you love him the most and the best, and you keep him there, I think you'll deal with everything else properly.
Yeah, yeah, that's so good. Just keeping God at the first and keeping God at our top priority. And you mentioned, you know, social media, our phones and sports and things like that. And I think about this a lot as just kind of the abundance and I guess overcrowded nature of our world today. It just feels like there's so much that you have to know, you know, even when it comes to things like taking care of your health or taking care of your body. There's a, you know, a funny video out there that's like, you know, don't eat chicken. Chicken's bad for you. Don't eat eggs. Eggs are bad for you. You know what? I cut water out of my diet, and you know what? It's so much better for me. And so it just feels like there's so much information and things out there. And then at the end of the day, we've had, you know, we've had scripture, we've had God there the whole time. That's just like, hey, I'm number one. I'm right here. You know, are you leaning on me? Are you coming to me? Are you spending your time with me? And I think that that's an important question for us to ask ourselves, is with the idols, is anything in my life taking the place of God? And I've always thought, kind of like you said, that if you are spending more time on something than you are another thing, then the thing that you're spending more time on is more important than the other thing. And so, and it's the same with our thoughts, with our words. And so where we spend our time definitely signifies what's most important in our lives. Would you agree with that?
I would. It's not hard to identify the idols in your life. I mean, just look at your checkbook, look at your bank statement online. You know, just look around you. It's not hard, because whatever you love the most is what you will pursue the heaviest. And so somebody says, well, I don't have time for that. Oh, you do. I mean, you'll make the time for whatever you want to do the most. And it's just a matter of, do I consider this important? Do I consider this to be of utmost in my life? And there's a lot of things out there that are good and decent and right. But there's only one thing that's best. And we've got to keep that in mind. Otherwise, we create chaos and disorder in our lives. I was listening to a podcast the other day that they were talking about chaos and disorder. And they were referring to monsters in the Bible. And you have the, you know, the great sea creatures in Genesis, that God, it's not just talking about whales and fish, but Tienen, which is, you know, the great sea monster. And it's talking about other monsters in the Bible, dragons, if you will, the serpent, Leviathan, behemoth. You see that motif throughout the Bible. And it said, whenever you see that, there's chaos and disorder. That's their job, is they create chaos and disorder. They ruin, or they attempt to ruin God's good order. And humans can do that. They can put on the dragon outfit and they can create chaos and disorder. Cain did that with Abel, and it's been a problem ever since. And so you think about the things in your life that can cause chaos and disorder. What are those monsters? What are those things that are causing upheaval? And some of it you can't control, you know, cancer, Alzheimer's, things like that. Those monsters have a name, death. But where you control it by, as you said a while ago, leaning into God, letting him be first and making him your top priority.
Right, right. And that kind of leads into my next question. You mentioned these things that might take our time away from God. And you say that some of them are actually good things. And I think that can be there can be a danger in that, because there can be some things that we may not notice are taking us away from God, because we're like, well, I mean, this isn't a bad thing. So, yeah. So I think that it can become dangerous because we don't really see it. We don't really notice that. And so when does spending time doing things we enjoy that aren't bad things, could be good things like hobbies, vacations, entertainment, whatever, when does that become harmful in our lives?
Yeah, I think that when the justifications start to flow, you know, something's up. I've said all along, church attendance should be a decision made one time. You make that decision one time and you never have to, you know, have a discussion about it on Saturday night. It's just always a given. And, you know, that's not so much the case anymore. You know, we go to church unless something else comes up. If we want to have a late day with the family, or if we want to, you know, if there's a baseball tournament going on, whatever it is, you know, we allow certain things to kind of overtake that decision. And we do it under the guise of, hey, you know, we love God. God knows our heart. You know, we're going to be there otherwise. It's just, this is a special occasion, and our kids are only young once. And so we want to do this, you know, for now, but I mean, it's not something that is it's a one-off, right? It's not something that's going to overtake us or consume us. And I get that, cause I live that. I mean, I know what that's like. I had a son that was a great athlete, and we dealt with, all those kind of issues. And I can tell you now, my son is 24 and a coach. It didn't matter. I mean, it didn't matter. We drank the Kool-Aid like everybody else is. And now look at us. We're happy. You know, everything's fine. The world didn't fall apart because we didn't make it to every tournament. He still did well. He's now in that profession on the other side of it, coaching. And he would tell you, you know what? I didn't really miss out on anything on the times that we didn't go to the finals on Sunday. And, you know, so that's just one example, right? But I can't tell you how many times that I've been on social media on my phone and I look up and 30 minutes has gone by. I'm like, I got to put this thing down, you know? And so I've started trying to figure out what are some other things I can do. So, you know, exercising is a big part of that. I love doing that. I love being outside. You know, even if I'm not, even if I'm shooting a deer with a camera instead of a gun, you know, to me, that's just where it's at. And just trying to, you know, set those things aside. Maybe even having a fast from those. You know, again, those are not terrible things. Social media has done a lot of good, although sometimes it's hard to see. Our kids playing sports is not a bad thing. And I don't think we need to present it as such. Having a job is a good thing, and pouring yourself into your job is a good thing. But if it causes you to one day sit across the table from your family and they say, we never knew you, because you were never home, well, that's a bad thing, right? And we talk about balance and all that. Maybe that's where it's at. But I think more than anything, it's just remembering that you're not here very long, that this life is going somewhere. And so keep the main thing, because that is the main thing.
I like that. You know, that's kind of what it comes back to is, like you said, keeping the main thing the main thing. And I've always liked that. And I always admire people that have kind of stood up to that and have said, we're not going to do the sports thing on Sundays or Wednesdays or whatever that might be. You know, I played public school sports, and thankfully my coach went to church with me, so I never had to worry about that. Right. But it is so true how we can start to justify these kinds of things. And I know it's not really the same kind of context, I guess, but I do kind of think of Matthew 7 where Jesus says, you know, the speck and the log, and you're noticing it in other people, but you're not noticing it in yourself. And I think with this, what we're talking about, it can kind of, that can kind of play into that. I tend to notice that, and that's a flaw in me where I'm like, oh, so you can spend all this time doing this, but you're not coming to church. You're not, you know, serving, whatever that might be. When God's probably saying to me, like, hey, last time I checked, you probably don't spend all the time that you should be either, right? You're not serving as much as maybe or spending as much time as you should serving or whatever that might be. I saw you play that 4-hour round of golf, no problem. And so I think that is true when the excuses and the justifications kind of come up and you're like, well, it's not too bad. Or like you said, well, like we've got to get this done, whatever that might be. I think when that's, if we have the humility to admit that and the heart that says, you know, God, like I could be wrong on this. In fact, I probably am. And you're right. I need to adjust some things in my life. So I think that those are all some good things.
I think paying attention to our older brothers and sisters in Christ, they're retired. They're in their 70s, 80s, 90s. And they're the most faithful we have in our church. They're there every time the doors are open. You know, they're at every activity. They're always the last ones to leave the building, typically. Paying attention to them because they are where we want to be. I think we would all say that. Eventually, we want to get to a point where, you know, not with getting older, but where we can say we're retired. We can look back and reflect on life, and we're still here, and we're still, you know, plugging along and doing well. But they have something to teach us because they have reached the golden years and the season of their life and said, you know what, we've done everything you're doing. Maybe not to the extent that we did it, but we've been there and done that. And, you know, here we are. And this is what's most important now is being here with my brothers and sisters, because maybe we don't have as long and we want to make the most of the time that we do have. And you talk to any one of them, just about all of them will tell you that you're running around and you're scurrying around and making sure you're getting all these things done and doing all the stuff on your to-do list. And you act like you're the busiest person in the world. Let me just tell you, I've lived it and here I am. You say, well, you know, you don't know my life. And, you know, our kids got baseball tournaments, all that. And they're thinking, yeah, we picked cotton, we chopped cotton, we did all this kind of, I mean, they had a hard life, many of them, and served in the military, maybe even Vietnam or the Korean War. And here they are going, yeah. We've reached a point in life where, you know, we can see the end. It's getting closer, and this is what matters. And I think they have a lot to teach us if we'll pay attention to them.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up. And you always notice them and you look at them, and it's kind of like what you were saying. Their pace of life is so much slower than the typical person you think of nowadays, or how I sometimes can be, just going 90 miles an hour, doing everything, whatever that might be. You look at them and they're taking it slow. They're not apathetic by any means, but they're just going along. They've lived that life, and they've done their work. They've done their time, you know, establishing their life. And now, like you said, they're looking back, and yet they're still continuing to do the work. The guy that, the man that, you know, mows the church lawn and plants a lot of the flowers and waters them, he's a retiree. And, you know, you can just see him, you know, most days doing something with the church, you know, at the church building, and he's working there. And that's always great to see, because you're like, man, like all these years later, and you're still serving, like that's how you choose to spend the time. Because, you know, the world tells you when you retire to, you know, move to Florida and play pickleball or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And yet Christian retirement, there really is no such thing. And so, I'm really glad you brought that up. So Christians, we talked about this idea of being countercultural. When it comes to how we spend our time, how can we go about being countercultural when it comes to our busy, hurried world that we live in?
Yeah, that's going to take a backbone. That's going to take you standing up and saying no. The biggest thing that we can do is draw some lines, some boundaries, and say, I'm not stepping across these no matter what. I think one of the biggest, best words in our vocabulary is no, and learning how to say that often, because the world will take from you everything that you try to give it and then some. And so you're going to have to be the one that dictates what you do and don't do. If you let the world do that, then you'll never be satisfied, you'll never be happy, and you'll always be running in 100 different directions. And so you have to draw a line and say, I'm not going to cross this line no matter what. And then also, I'm going to say no, and I'm going to be able to say that no and move on. Was at Bass Pro Shop in Nashville this past weekend, and I walked in, and right before I walked in, they had some salesmen trying to sell like a timeshare deal. And, you know, they were very good at what they do. And there were some people that were in front of us, and we were trying to get by, and I could hear them going, yeah, I just don't know. I mean, and no telling how long they'd been there having this conversation. I walked by, and one of them trying to get by without being seen. I got by, and one of them stopped me and said, hey, let me tell you about it. I said, nope, and kept walking. It's hard to argue with no. I mean, if you sit there and say, I don't know. I mean, you know, leave the door cracked open, they're always going to try to get in. But if you say no, and a hard no, and that's it, don't be wishy-washy. Be able to say no, whatever that looks like in your life, whether it's extracurricular activities, your job. I think even school sometimes, and I always try to keep that in mind as a teacher and a coach when I did that profession, is that, these kids have siblings that their parents are trying to get different places and to go to their games or whatever they're doing. And they also, they have lives outside of this sport. And I think too many times coaches, even in high school, look at it as like, you know, my sport's the most important sport, or what I teach is the most important subject. And I witnessed that some, and I'm like, no, I mean, they've got a lot to do. And correct me if I'm wrong, but all these sports and extracurriculars were designed originally to have fun. They were designed for recreation. If you're not having fun doing it, then I don't think you should be doing it. And so trying to make it fun, trying to, you know, let it have its place. Now, I was at a school where my superintendent was an elder in the church I went to in town. And so he demanded that they, on Wednesdays, they be released at the bell. You can't have after school practice on Wednesdays. And then there's nothing that happens on Sunday. And he said, I know these kids don't all go to church, but they all have the opportunity to go to church. And that won't be because the coach kept them late. But he drew a hard line in the sand. And for him, that was, I don't care. If you are not good, and your team loses on Thursday night because you didn't practice after school Wednesday, then we'll take that. That's okay. You know,
but
we had to do that with my son. There were times when, he was playing Little League baseball, and we were playing for first place one night, and he went to LTC. It was LTC weekend. And they said, well, we need him on Friday night. I mean, you know, I don't think we can beat this team if he's not here. I said, well, good luck. He's not coming. And that was just understood. And I think until we step up and do that and do it with conviction and say no and not be wishy-washy about it, you can't really have any hope that it's going to change, right?
Right. Yeah. No is a complete sentence. My dad just told me that this weekend. So definitely, yeah. definitely a good reminder for us and drawing those clear boundaries. And I like what you said. And I think that this goes, not just for sports, although it does, especially if you play kind of those hobby sports, like, you know, I play golf and maybe pickleball, bowling, whatever that might be, is allowing that to be a fun thing. As Christians, I think sometimes we have this, we wouldn't say it out loud, but maybe we have this mindset of Christians just have to be serious all the time. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I think we can have fun and keep those things in their place and surround ourselves with people and, you know, have that. That's could be a form of fellowship, is spending time with fellow Christians doing things and keeping it fun and keeping it kind of where it's at, as just kind of a, hey, this is just a thing where we can get to know each other better, where we can talk to each other. I guess just kind of using those kinds of things that we're talking about as ways that are God honoring, that maybe build relationships instead of maybe the worldly connotation that we may associate with it. Does that make sense?
It does. And I want to say, I do not believe you're going to hell if you miss a Wednesday night service to go to a ball game, or even a Sunday here and there. I don't believe that automatically condemns you to hell. It's not what I'm saying. I hope that's not the message that I'm giving off. But I always thought about, as a father, if I'm the spiritual leader of this household, if it's my job to help get my family to heaven, then I've got to consider those things, right? And I've got to consider what my children think walking away. You know, what do they assume of their leader? Well, maybe they assume that for this one day, it doesn't matter. That for this one day, the championship of the baseball or soccer game is more important. That is very possible that they think that, right? So I've got to think about that. And I've got to figure out a way that, I can let them know that my words have teeth. And if I say this, it means something. And so if I'm constantly preaching that this matters most, then it's got to matter most when it's the most difficult to matter, right? And so I feel like maybe to some people that sounds like, oh, he's just one of those, you know, far right guys that the legalist and, you know, cross every T, dot every I. I'm really not trying to be that way. I mean, my job as a dad is to keep my kids out of hell and out of jail. And I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So last question here. When we think about young adult Christians who are kind of, you know, maybe newly married, in college, no, you interact with a lot of college students that are, you know, currently at Fried Hardeman and other places. You know, what would you tell that person who might be struggling with this kind of thing in whatever area because they have so much on their plate, like, you know, a new spouse or a new job, or just kind of getting their feet up under them and moving to a new city? What would you tell that person who might be struggling with, okay, I know I need to spend my time in the right places. How can I do that?
Well, the first thing I would tell them is, hey, I feel you. I'm there. You know, the same struggle that you're having, I had, and I still have, just in a different way. You're always struggling with that, right? I mean, I almost roll my eyes when somebody says I'm busy, you know, because everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. That's almost not a valid excuse anymore. And again, you will make time for what's most important. But the second thing I would tell them is, hang on, just hang on. It's going to be okay. Hang in there. Keep trying. Keep doing your best. And it's going to be okay. There's some of these things that it's just your station in life. You know, a little baby is going to keep you up at night, and it's going to cause you to lose sleep. It's going to cause you to be tired for other things, but that's a station in life. And you do it with everything you got because you know it's going to be worth it. And there's other things that as you grow and as you change seasons, you're going to see, okay, that's not as important as I thought it was, but allow yourself to grow, give yourself some breathing room and create some margins in your life. You know, for my entire career, on Saturdays, that's my day. I don't do anything church related on Saturday, if that makes sense. You know, I don't really go up to the building. Every now and then we'll have a wedding or a funeral on that day. That's the one day that I have for me and my kids, and now an empty nester, just me and my wife. And so create some margins, whatever that looks like. For my wife, it was 9 o'clock at night. She and I, 9 o'clock at night, that was our time. Kids are in bed. We can watch TV, we can read, whatever, but that was our night, our time during the day at 9 o'clock. And then we create margins other ways, you know, get away for a weekend or have a date night or whatever it is, but create those margins. And certainly church has to be a part of that, of those margins, and your service to God. Maybe you feel like you're burning the candle at both ends. I know it's not an appealing premise, but get up a little earlier so you can read your Bible and pray. You'll find time to work it in when that's the most important thing to you. But the big thing is just hang in there. Don't beat yourself up. You're going to be okay. But you do have to put forth some effort here, right? God's not going to just shower this upon you without you doing nothing. It does take, you meeting God where he's at, right? Making yourself available maybe is the way to put it.
Right. I think it goes back to just kind of intentionality on the making the time and putting in the effort. You've still got to put in the effort and say, you know, kind of like what you said. All right, this day I'm going to spend it with my family. This time I'm going to spend it with my wife. And I like that as someone who's, about to get married. I've been told a lot, your spouse is your first ministry. And that's something that I really hope to do a lot. And so I think that that's really good. And just kind of taking a breather and realizing, I don't know why our brains do this, but they kind of trick us into thinking that the way our life is now, it's just always going to be this way. And you have to really work to remind yourself of I was just in another period or season or time in my life when it wasn't this way. And, you know, this other thing was stressing me out or this other thing was going on and I was worried about it. And guess what? Like, I made it through, you know? And so, like I said, I don't know why our minds do that, but they do. And so, I think that those are really good things, just being intentional, creating that time, creating those margins. And as a young adult myself, I think that that's really great advice.
Yeah. I've never heard anybody on their deathbed say, boy, I wish I would have worked more. I regret spending time with my kids. You know, I wish I'd have drank more. You know, I've never heard any of that. What I always hear is something to the effect of, I've had a blessed life. I'm so thankful for the life that God has given me. And, you know, I hear that over and over again, but I don't think you'll ever regret spending more time with your family or being with your church family. If that's what you put the most emphasis on, I'd be shocked if you ever regretted that.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, Chris, thank you so much once again for coming on the show. I know you're a busy guy, so thanks for carving out the time, as we talked about, to come on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tyler. I appreciate the work you're doing, and keep it up.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.